Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are positively here. It's very, very quiet here. We're Costas and Timonium. Man, it was a mad freaking house here all weekend. It shall be again this weekend. The special days of the Maryland Fair. We're here at Timonium. We're at the in the grandstand at Costas, which is now here 365 days a year like the OTB. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have pressure luck scratch-offs. I have some lucky sevens. This is it. Once they're done, we go to Ravens scratch-offs. It's going to be all purple around here as we get ready for Buffalo. Bill Cole, our defending champion of all things Cole Roofing and the WNST Tech Service and Gordian Energy. Dude, we're not going to do Ocean City today. We're not going to do roofing or solar. We're going to do some journalism today because Chris Corman's here, the sports editor of the Baltimore Banner. Been a little while since I've had you on. Elbows up. How are you? Everything good?
Yeah, great, great. I kind of want to hear about roofs, though.
Well, I was just getting ready to
see, here
leave,
we go.
Here
we
go. Because
you
said journalism and I don't qualify. So
well, here
step
is
out.
The thing. So this is where serendipity kicks in, right? Like, you came over and did the show at Pappas in the middle of my Cup of Super Bowl
back
two years ago, whatever it was, before the Justin Tucker scandal. And I had Rosenfeld happen to be there during that period of time. So what I do is when I do five crab cake tours in a row, which I've been doing, and I'm eating all this food, I invite everybody that I like having out on the show and say, do you want to come or do you not? Call's usually on a roof or on a trip or with kids or doing something. You've got kids. You got a wife. You're running a journalism thing. Your wife's a pretty good journalist too. And like neither one of you, you're always, can't do it. Wouldn't, can't. Well, I mean, Cole, you haven't done a show in like 4 months, dude. You're getting like razzed by your buddies because you're ducking me ever since Trump got elected.
Well, they're worried I'm not around to like keep you in check or pull you back a little bit.
Well, here I am.
Fall off the deep end.
Yeah, it's what I need. 3 days of you and me in Vegas or Ocean City, and right. You're going to be the good cop?
Yeah, you know.
Dude, I'm the designated driver. Tell him. I'm the straight one here.
I do what I can. I work hard. You know?
I talk about drinking. I don't do it. You know what I mean? So, but then I've had you on just you and me, like Christmas time, you came to Amici's. This is no setup with any gotcha for the journalism guys, but he is a guy, Billy, who you, if you didn't do what you were doing roofing, you might have gotten, you came over to do radio with me.
Bill was
an intern with Bob Haney in my radio station the turn of the century.
Long time ago.
Yeah, so I mean, you are an old school reader of John Eisenberg, who's going to be here a little later on today, and Ken Rosenthal, and like, you grew up on journalism, and I think one of the reasons Billy, the last reason he respects me is, you know, I'm not for sale. You've seen my act, right?
Yeah.
So, like, the fact that there still is, I think one of the reasons Cole Roofing puts its name with me, not just because of our consigliere relationship, is that I'm one of the last people here who will talk to his wife, his journalist, Justin Fenton, anybody about facts. I like facts.
Right.
I like accountability. I like politicians who are accountable on both sides of the fence. I strongly dislike when general managers fire their manager and hide for 3 days in Milwaukee. I strongly dislike when a tight end drops a ball and fumbles and doesn't show up for a press conference. Those are little things, but the accountability part is what you dig about WNST, I think, all these years in. And there are very few people left doing like what he and he's a Philly guy, were trained to do, which is journalism around here. It's like really falling apart, man.
It's not, you know? Not just the accountability side, but the ability to have open dialogue where we 100% disagree about something, but we're going to
talk about it
and process it. And I, you know, it's funny. I never really thought about it this way, but, you know, sports can be one of those safe places where you can actually vehemently disagree with someone and have a really fun debate.
And you can bet on it right here
want. And it's, there's no consequences, right? Like we're not, like, that's not out of bounds at the Thanksgiving dinner table, right? Like, they don't say you're not allowed to talk about sports.
It's pretend.
So you're allowed to argue about sports. So I'm just mostly interested in trying to show my children that you are actually able to have dialogue about these, because they're not allowed to in the world they live in, right? You're not allowed to talk about any of that stuff. Because it's, people get their feelings hurt, people get real defensive.
Well, this is where the Justin Tucker thing comes in. And, Chris, I just want to say, first off, just the journalism side, I don't think we've been in the same room. Last time we were together, the Tucker thing wasn't a thing. Mm. It was the week before Christmas. We were together at Amici's, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay, right? So I want to you run me through what you've learned as a sports editor, as a journalist, as a guy running a new entity that's a paywall entity, trying to do legitimate journalism with family members and employees and people you know, with, you know, a new school of journalism there. You broke a massive story that people still come up to me on both sides of the political spectrum, male and female, black and white, all of them purple, I should assure right, you, right. And say, you know, Nasty, the banner, that, you know, I don't know if that's true or not. You know, did you read the stories, because it's plural? Well, you know, you can't believe what you read. And I'm like, man, you are just roped in to thinking Putin's a good guy and you should be voting for this creep, this felon. But I digress, onto the other side. But can I believe it's true? I mean, we have really moved to the Russian side of, even when credible 16 women stepped forward, and there were more than that, according to Julie, in regard to this story, people come up to me and say, he's my Justin Tucker. He ate chicken. He ate coffee. He can't be. I've met three of these women now. The NFL, the way this thing blew over, as predicted by you, me, and anybody else that was paying attention, is that no one ever had to answer a question about it.
Right.
And the only one who was attacked in that, you know, the political Don Mueller would say attack. The only one was attacked was you, Julie, the journalist, by Justin Tucker, and there's been no backing down from the fact that, what did he call you? I know you know the whole list.
Tabloid fodder? Desperate tabloid fodder.
Keep going.
I don't
whatever it was, yeah. But whatever it was.
Journalistic failings, all sorts of.
All of that.
Right.
We're 9 months. It's the first time you've been on a show. I mean, let's talk about this, because this is the weird place where we're allowed to talk about this for real.
I mean,
you know?
What I would say is that the people you're talking to and the people we've heard from that disagree with the story largely have not read the story. You are correct, right? So we would post on Instagram, and Instagram is an open forum, right? So anyone can be on Instagram. So we would post, hey, here's a new story. Here we're up to 16 women. And there would be 100 comments, and maybe 60 to 80 of them would be negative. The banner's lying. This is wrong. This is terrible. But then there would be 800 likes, right? So 800 people liked the story as like, and those generally are the people who are reading, right? Because those stories, the first Tucker story did, it's the most widely read story in Banner history.
Well, I hit the paywall the first couple 10 hours. You know, the first Friday when it broke, I was at Pizza John's. I mean, I forget where I was. I mean, I was at Pizza John's, and Jen Marsh, longtime editor of the City Paper, and I were literally, I mean, a journalist. And when she came out of the bathroom reading it, literally, we're sitting over a pizza and cheesesteaks. She's showing me the phone. She's like, "Want to? I know everybody who wrote this story and is a part of this story. This is some serious shit." I mean, that's literally where it was at that moment. And by the time I got in the car, Tucker had already called you names.
Right.
And like,
well, we were going back and forth with his lawyers at that point, right? And that's the other thing about these stories is that they are long. They are a little bit difficult to read, right? So the first Tucker story probably went through conservatively 2,000 edits. Conservatively 2,000 edits.
2,000 edits.
Yes, because I mean the number of times we changed words and moved things around, because we worked with our lawyer.
How many
on
people
it.
Are in on this story at this time?
20.
There were 20 people in your building sitting on this. You knew about it. Okay.
Yes, we had a
Mike
very
Vrabel
large
would
team.
Like to know that you guys sat on it pretty good there, kept it quiet.
So we
didn't have any rats.
We had a giant group working on it, and we were going back and forth, and then his lawyers got involved, right? We got the Claire, you know, it's in the media business. It's if you get a Claire Lock letter, they have a very distinctive look. They are very threatening. So we got that, and we engaged with Claire Lock. I was the first to engage with Claire Lock.
Claire Lock is a law firm.
Yes, the number one law firm for this sort of work. For
the kind of law firm a kicker that would have $70 million and an organization that has billions of dollars would look to say, is this true?
And they've done, you know, Claire Lock's not always in the wrong side of things. They handled the suit against Fox News for Dominion, the voting booths, and won one of the largest judgments ever. But generally what they do is they are hired by people who want to quash stories in the media. But so we were going back and forth with them, and you know, so I get the story is long. I don't know what it ended up being, 2,500 words. It's not exactly artfully written because we had to be so precise with it,
sure.
Based on what our lawyers were saying. You know, we were very careful with the language to make sure we were in the right places with what we were saying. That's been my observation, is that the people who did not really engage with the story, who just want to feel like, I like Justin Tucker, I've watched, Justin Tucker was the longest tenured Raven. He kicked significant field goals that led
to a
Super Bowl.
He's going to the Hall of something.
Yeah.
And
he was not just a football player. That's the main thing about him.
Well,
right?
I will live long enough to see him put in the Ring of Honor. He will be honored.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I mean, there's been, the NFL then came in on the back end of all of them. I mean, I'm moving ahead in the story here. Let's stay back in January. The one thing that I hear when I'm at a cocktail party with Bill Cole in Ocean City from people who, within 30 seconds, when I speak to these people, I know whether they've read any of it or none of it, because you didn't read some of it. You either followed the story, and I have pointed out that BALJZ never even followed up with the two following stories to even put headlines on their website. So the media here dirted this story, your story, and didn't even bring to light how big of a story it was. The team is now pretending, la, 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 like Chad Steele, la, 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 that, like, none of this ever happened. It was football, football, football. Like, there's barely been any acknowledgement out of the building, the organization, even the league. I guess it would be if he kicks again. You know, if it comes back up and he winds up being a kicker again, the story will come back up. But if he never kicks again, the next time he's heard from could be entering the Ring of Honor, or is he a Hall of Famer 6 years from now if he doesn't kick again. I would just say that the beginning of this, the story I hear the most is from people that didn't read it in any way, is, you know, this might have been the reason he wasn't kicking so good last year. You know, he wasn't a very good kicker last year. And, you know, I bet those dirty journalists, you know, if it weren't for you meddlers, you know, investigating the investigation of, you know, sexual predators in football locker rooms, that this might have bled into last year. My understanding from Justin Fenton, who sits at the top of your journalistic Richter scale, is that this really happened in January. So I want to put that out.
The tip came January 9th. I mean, the tip came January 9th at like 2:30 in the afternoon.
Had you heard anything about this in October, November, December? Nothing.
Not one word. And when all we did, I mean, I tell people this all day, this was incredible investigative reporting. Okay, I want to say that up top. It was incredible investigative reporting. But all we did was get the tip. I asked my beat reporters, have you ever heard this? They said no. And then they put it in Twitter. They just searched in Twitter, Justin Tucker massage. And multiple tweets from multiple years came forth saying, like, Justin Tucker's banned from area spas, Justin Tugger, you know, like, all this, you know, jokes about it, serious things about it. Eventually, we found a Facebook post where a woman was talking about it. We tracked that woman down. We tracked the other women down. Like, we knew nothing about it.
Julie sat with me for an hour. Julie Sharper is a part of this and really the lead reporter in doing this, sitting with these women. And this is the part where I'm with Julie on a Zoom. Julie didn't come out, but Julie did a Zoom with me. And I'm like, so these women that had this happen, they're scared about, you know, why is this story coming out now? Yeah, why these women, why didn't they call the police? You 12, didn't they have bosses? You know, ain't there some trail? Yeah, there's all of that. And you guys literally went through these girls and their girlfriends, their boyfriends, people in their lives, their family members, their bosses.
Written documentation. I mean, you know, there was a woman who kept a letter, you know, that she wrote to her boss. And, you know, it was like crinkled up in, she like, Julie heard her, like, she said, like, can you find this letter?
But you got to read the journalism
and
to know
heard,
any of this
she
stuff.
Heard people, she heard her taking it out, you know, so.
But
yeah,
but
you
talking
have to engage.
To Julie, she had to engage with these 16 women, first seven women, who are like, I'm going to tell you a story I've only told my mother and father and, you know, a couple of friends, and it's outlandish, and every time I see that Royal Farms commercial, it pisses me off, and like, and now, I mean, Julie Sharper's in a position to be a therapist at that moment, as well as a journalist, as well as a police officer. She's 60 Minutes. She's Jane Miller. You know, she's Get Gelfman. You know, there's no apparent money that's going to flow. And this is not a they called you and banded together. These women didn't even know each other, right? These were correct. Isolated things in all. I mean, so predatory, if it's true, that he went around the city to different places and did something that any guy I know would think, I'm going to get my ass kicked if I try to pull that maneuver anywhere. And the fact that he did it brandishing the NFL's logo, the Ravens logo, the do you know who I am and what I can get away with. Dude, it's a revolting story that I know the Ravens want to run from, but they shouldn't be looking to intimidate you, me, or lie or honor him or run down to the White House with Donald Trump. Through all of this and the NFL running away from it, everything I would have predicted 9 months ago, including the public's ignorance in a general sense to all of it, what percentage of Ravens fans know the truth, want to know the truth, or in your, Billy, you even said, like, I just want to bet on it and go cheer for him and eat chicken and be a fan and drink beer. I don't really want to know that the Hall of Fame kicker was out doing this to people like my sister or my daughter or my wife.
Oh, yeah, I mean, maybe a little bit of, like, I'm the guy who didn't actually read it. I don't read any of it. But I didn't need to, because I assume it's true pretty much about all of them. Like, the behavior that goes on, and, I mean, it only takes, what, like, 2 months, and then we hear about something else. And then 2 months, and we hear about something else.
And then they draft a guy who's got two allegations, and you know he's going to be, they hope he sacks Allen three times on Monday night, literally.
I don't have any expectation that these are model citizens, that they behave well. You know, somewhere along the way, I guess I just kind of put my morals in a plastic bag and stuck it in the closet and continue to watch and, you know, like, I don't know. That doesn't make
me
feel good about
that. See, but it's my job to go
to
Craig Thompson and Wes Moore and say, you've given $1.2 billion to these organizations that are intimidating anyone who smells and thinks like a journalist. Not just intimidating them. I mean, give me the name Tabloid 5. Like, you know, going discrediting the journalists who are legitimately doing the real work.
Yeah,
at the gun of law firms.
I get it.
Breathing
We've talked about
I could not have reported the Justin Tucker story. That's what's become clear to me over the last 2 years, is that there is now a point where if I saw player X, coach X, owner X assault someone,
right,
I would have to deal with. Well, they dealt with in even thinking about reporting that.
In my head, I was wondering if you guys ever contemplated, like, here's this story. We're not going to put a name in it. We just want you to read this information and see whether you believe it's credible, right? And everyone in the world would read that information and agree that it's credible that an NFL player would behave that way.
They
right?
never would have picked Justin Tucker.
They wouldn't. But now you've landed credibility with them. And you're like, the next day you release, like, oh, by the way, that story, here's who that was about, and here's why we know, and da-da-da-da-da. And now all of a sudden that entire conversation has shifted because even though, I mean, they're only arguing because they love the purple, right? And that's church. And we used to talk about that all the time. Like, their church on Sundays is to go tailgate, go to the game, you know, watch this, have friends over, cook the chili, whatever it is. That's their life. That's part of, like, who they are.
100%.
And that's not fair. Don't disrupt my universe.
I had an identity crisis for a long time in regard to the Orioles 35 years ago when I started doing sports radio.
Sure.
To the Ravens 30 years ago when they came to town and behaved in a, well, the Ray Lewis aside and Art Modell, and you could go through all of that. But in a general sense, we're accountable. You know, they weren't threatening to throw me out. I mean, I had a journalism moment. And Chris, Chris Corman's here. We're at Costas and Timonium. We're going to eat some crab soup. My favorite thing to eat here, by the way, is the Oyster Rockefeller, which I'm definitely going to get today. And when you have lunch here, Chris, you got to get the Crab Imperial because it'll make you feel like a king.
Okay.
About 8 years ago, the Ravens played a game in Chicago. It was the day that the storm blew in. And Luke and I and my wife were there in Chicago in the press box. And Ozzie Newsome took ill. I saw it in the elevator. I saw him not looking good. I was in the elevator downstairs. Underneath the bowels of the stadium, there was an ambulance. The locker room was thrown apart. They were trying to get the media out of the locker room. It's a journalist in me. I smell, you know, I mean, come on, man. I've been covering sports 35 years at that time, or 33 years at the time. So I smelled something, and I went to a couple people who knew some things and whatever, and they told me Ozzie's having a problem. He's the general manager of the team. He's a Hall of Famer. He's the architect of the team. He's having some sort of physical problem in front of everyone. I'm in the locker room. There are four journalists there. You know, me, Zrebeck, Hensley, Luke, handful of us. I guess Sandusky is not really a journalist. I mean, who are we kidding? But, I mean, he's there. Is that news that Ozzie Newsome's not coming home with the team and is in a gurney and I'm watching? I watched Ozzie Newsome get wheeled into the back of an ambulance. I'm the only one who saw it, literally the only one who saw it, because I waited around because I knew something was up and I knew what was going on. Somebody in the locker room, five people in the locker room told me Ozzie's having a physical problem, right? Now, do you report that or do you not report that? What the hell am I doing there if I'm not reporting that?
Yeah.
I'm a journalist.
You got to talk to people about it. You ask the team for a statement.
I witnessed him leaving the stadium in an ambulance. I literally saw him sitting in the back of the ambulance. That's about as sourced as I can get, right?
Yeah, right.
Dude, they never treated me the same way again and threw me out after that.
Mm.
I was never treated the same way again, ever, by any of them. They saw it as a betrayal of whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I threw the NST text up, and my hands were shaking a little bit because it was big news, you know. Yeah. And it was such big news that I rolled my wheeler out of the Chicago, out of the stadium, Soldier Field, walked on that windy, horrible day over to the L train, took the L out to Midway, and as I walked into the airport, I walked into Harry Caray's, and Peter King was like the lead store in Sunday Night Football. It was like underneath that Ozzie, and you know why they thought it was a credible story? Because I reported it, and I was there, and I wouldn't make that up, and nobody would call me nobody thought, well, Nestor's putting his ass on the line, 30 years of journalism, to report such a thing. You all put your ass on the line reporting such a thing, right? Like, to your point, this was me seeing Ozzie and saying, that's news. Is that news or is that not? I went to school for this shit. You know what I mean? It's news, right? So whether Chad Steele likes that, Kevin Byrne didn't like that, Dick, none of them liked that. Dick Cass didn't like when I broke this, every year I broke the schedule. Dick Cass shut down their computer system trying to figure out who was bleeding me the schedule, and it didn't even come from his building. Because I'm a source journalist throughout the league, and I've been doing it 25 years, you know? And it was important to me to get the schedule first, to people help me. But
what did Ravens employees do that day with no computer? They were just
he shut down their email. I'm telling you, look it up. I mean, it happened. But this is how paranoid that building is.
Yeah.
But I feel, as I sit next to you, knowing what you do for a living, it's unbelievable to me to see your journalism attacked in that way. And even Billy, you should be embarrassed, not reading the pieces, to know what like really happened, because when we circulate in this city, it was the biggest story in the city for 6 months. It's not anymore because it got buried. Right? It could still Tyler Lute misses the kick on Monday night or Sunday night. Right. You know, Tucker will be the story. But, like, there are still people that doubt that this happened. John Harbaugh has basically nothing. I know, like, been like Schultz and Hogan's here. I know nothing. None of them know anything. I find it to be disturbing on behalf of their wives and their daughters and their sisters. I do. And I know John's wife, daughter, sister, mother. Like, I just, that nobody has stood up for these women in the way that they probably should. And I admire the work you've done, but I also understand, like, we're getting to the point where if you're not doing it, there ain't nobody to do it. And if you don't have a team of law firms behind you, people like me can't do it. And Chad Steele knows that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's tough work to do. It takes a Harvard-trained lawyer to make you feel that you are going to be okay. you know, because you're going against a very powerful entity with lots of money that wants to protect its brand more than any. You know, the Ravens brand is incredibly valuable, and Justin Tucker was a big part of that, and an important part of that, and a part that hit other. You know, there are lots of fans that just want to watch the football and love the football, but he hit Catholics. He hit opera fans. He made opera fans feel like, oh, I can watch football. This is a guy that, you know, and he just made people feel like I don't have to understand run gaps to watch football and care about it. So he was a huge part of the marketing effort, but also just, I mean, this is also a guy that they spent a lot of time with. I mean, John Harbaugh spent more time with Justin Tucker than any other Raven, right?
Like, sure.
He saw Justin Tucker get married, have a kid, grow up as a kicker. You know, this was not a guy who was supposed to be the best kicker of all time. This was an undrafted free agent who maybe was going to beat out Billy Cundiff. So, you know, it's, and they live in a bubble.
I can't use words like that.
Yeah, that's tough.